Today we begin a new perek. Perek Samach Vav, the last perek of Sefer Yeshaya. It's quite an accomplishment to get to this point. And this last perek is the Haftarah of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. And simply the connection, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, is the very end. It's the second to last pasuk, or the third lit, the perek samach vav pasuk aleph, and the connection is pasuk chav gimel v'chodesh b'chodesh, which is chav gimel chav dalid. It's the second to last pasuk, but until we get to that point, we have a lot more to do. So let's begin the perek. The perek begins with the words. I can only find it. So many pages to turn. Okay. Koyemar Hashem. So says Hashem, Hashemayim kisi varetz hadoim ragloi. The Mitzudos tells us that Yeshaya is returning to give Musar to Klal Yisrael. He's ending off is the last section, his last prophecy is strong Musar. Hashemayim, well, less Perek Hashem, because they have really different sections within this Perek itself, but at least at this point he is returning to give Musa Klal Yisrael, and he says as follows. Hashem says, Hashemayim Kisi, the heaven is my throne, the Oretz Hadom Ragloi, and the earth is my footstool. Eze Vayis Asher Tivnu Li, therefore Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, don't think that you have done something for me when you built the Beis HaMikdash. Don't take pride. Don't let it get to your head. Don't let your head swell when you focus on the fact that you have built a Beis HaMikdash and you offer korbanos and you sing Shira and you do all of these wonderful things that are done in the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem says, as far as I'm concerned, it's irrelevant because I don't need the Beis HaMikdash. You're not doing me any favors. The whole heaven, the heavens, are my throne. And the earth is nothing more than my footstool. Eze vayis asher tivnu. Therefore, what bias, this little teeny little structure you built around here on this world, what bias can you build for me that it can be significant? The eze mokom menuchasi. And what mokom can you build that can be considered a place of resting? It's interesting that we have the word, we spoke about this before, the word mokom. Right? Baruch hamokom baruchu. We have hamokom yinachem eschem. So in this pasuk we have the word mokom connect the word menucha with peace, and it's interesting that definitely he's saying what mokom can you, when it comes to a bayis, Hashem says eze bayis asher tivni, what bayis can you build for me, a bayis where I live, and what mokom can you establish that will be my resting place, loshon of menucha. Doesn't say tishre shechina. The word that the pasuk Hashem himself used to describe his menucha is a mokom. And menucha means rest. Interesting, when you say to an ovel, ha-mokom minachim eschem, you're really wishing them menucha, peace, rest. That just as the niftar, the one who has died, now has found eternal rest, menucha, the living, it's a very interesting idea, the living who are affiliated with the person, those who are, that are mourning for this person, they're tormented. They're tormented, and they also need that peace, that menucha, at this point in time. Yeah?
Yeah. Didn't Hashem command us to build a place where His Shekhinah would dwell?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we did. I mean...
But we're taking too much pride. We are. Hashem told us to build a Beis HaMikdash for our own good, and we turned the tables on Hashem and said, "Oh, we're doing it for your good." You're right. Hashem told us what to do everything, but we've become corrupt. We've become perverted in our kavana, and we have declared that it's for your good, Hashem. It's not for our good, and therefore, Klal Yisrael, therefore Hashem says, "I don't need it. Don't. You're not doing anything for my good. Everything you're doing is for your own good." Okay, but the other point I want to make is this word menucha. Children is a person's menucha. When a person has children and he leaves this world, he knows that is his menucha. I'm leaving over in this world someone to take my place. that the neshama has the greatest sense of nachas. Nachas means also to rest. What's nachas? To rest. That's similar to the word menucha. Person leaves over his children. This is his menucha. Therefore, you say baruch hamakom baruch hu keneged arba bonim dibur Torah. You deal with the children, because the children really is the person's menucha, and that's why we refer to Kadosh Baruch Hu at that point with the word makom, because here in the end of Yeshaya, the word makom and menucha are connected, are interrelated.
Isn't menucha also an expression of the Beis Hamikdash? Nachala.
Which shall you order? Kilei bosmata el
is Eretz Yisrael, right?
Vel hamenucha is shiloh. One is different. There are many midrashim. One says shiloh kilei bosmata el hamenucha vel hanachla. One is shiloh, and one is Yerushalayim. Okay, you're right. So right, but here it's explicit. The ezem mokom menucha se Hashem saying, what kind of? Don't take pride over here. And the bottom line is the Beis Hamikdash is Hashem's bais, and the Beis Hamikdash is Hashem's mokom. That is certain. Hashem told us to do so. But don't take pride in thinking that you've done Hashem a favor. You have done only a favor for yourself. Okay, let's go further. Let's go further. The S kol eli yodi osas. Then Hashem goes on to say, as everything I my own hands have done. In other words, even the heavens and the earth. Don't make a mistake and think that I came after the creation of the heavens and the earth. It was this pasuk. It's interesting. It's misleading, as Rashi and the Mitzudas explain, because if you take just the first part of the pasuk, one can be misled to believe that first there were heavens and earth, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu came on the scene. Hashem is infinite, as far as we're concerned, because we only live on the earth. And Hashem has at His disposal the Shemayim Ba'aretz. But Hashem only came and conquered the Shemayim Ba'aretz at a later point in time. That's Kefira. And the Pasuk of you is coming, don't make that mistake, because that's what the beginning of the Pasuk says. It says, the Shemayim is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Meaning, they were here before, I came along and I sat down on the Shemayim, and I rested my feet on the earth. But who came first? So no, don't make that mistake, the Pasuk says. Pasuk Beis, V'es kol eile yodi osasa. I came before the Shemayim v'aretz. I have created the Shemayim v'aretz. V'ayiyu kol eile, and it means it came to be. Just it's a repetition. This expression, the Yihiyu Kol Eile, it came into existence. The Mitzuda says, the Achar Zeh Hoyu Kol Eile. Afterwards, my hands have created the heaven and the earth, and then I chose to sit down on the heaven as my throne and the earth to rest my feet as the footstool. The Yihiyu Kol Eile Nu'um Hashem. And yet Hashem says, after all is said and done, the El Ze'abit, after I have at my disposal everything, I preceded the entire world of Shemayim V'aretz, I've created everything, what do I take pride in? The El Ze'abit, El Oni U'Necheruach, I look at the poor, and the Neche means the broken. Neche means shavur. Like a person, Rachman al-Aslan is a paro nechol. Paro nechol, he was lame. So a person, a broken, I look at the broken of spirit, unechei ruach, v'choreid al divari, person who fears my word. So Hashem says, I only take pride in the meek and the humble, and the meek, the humble, and of Klal Yisrael, and I don't appreciate the gaiva of taking pride in this that you built the Beis Hamikdash. And as the part goes on to say all the different things that we're going to see in a few moments. Now there is an interesting medrash. The medrash, first of all, it says here that this world are the legs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are the purpose of legs? To go, to travel, to mobility, to move. Legs, either you can stand in one location, or legs, the purpose of legs give a person the ability to move. This world is considered the resting place for the feet, kaviyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to accomplish something with this world. What that is, we do not know. That's beyond us. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, and we, this earth, is the means of accomplishing the goal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This world is a teeny, teeny, microscopic dot relative to the vast universe that's out there, the Shemayim. And in all the spiritual worlds, that's not the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to, kaviyachol, whatever this means, to accomplish his mission in creation. Hashem, he sits on the heaven, but when you sit, you don't go anywhere. You don't move. Movement, v'nasati l'cha mahalchem bein ha'omdim o'ele. Malachim are called omdim, this is a famous chazal. Malachim are called omdim, they are in one location, and human beings, v'nasati l'cha mahalchem, a human being has the ability to be a hoylech, to move, to travel, and that means to accomplish mobility. This world is the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to fulfill his mission, his mission in creating the world. Now there's a very interesting medrash, and this medrash talks about the death of Yeshaya. Coming to the very end of Yeshaya, I don't know where he quotes the medrash over here, I'll read you the whole medrash. B'soif nivuos shel Yeshaya nisnabe ha-pasuk hazeh. According to the medrash, this parak, it's the last parak, and it's also one of the last prophecies of Yeshaya. Yeshaya was 120 years old when he died. He was murdered by his own grandson, Menachem. And what happened? The Sof Nivuos Shal Yishai Nistambe was exed. I'm reading you the Medrash. Medrash is in Psikta Rabasi, Piska Dalid. The Emosai Nisnabe Oisobi Mei Menashe. After Chizkiyahu died, who took over? Menashe. Shekevon Shechnes Menashe Esatzelem Lehechol. After Menashe took over, he brought in a Tzelem, an idol, into the Beis HaMikdash. Hischil Misnabi Yishai Yisrael V'Amar Elohem. Yishai was furious. How dare you bring an idol into the Hechol? Moatem Miskoim Li B'Bayis Hazeh Shebnisem Li. Hal Yoinim. So what are you taking pride? How dare you? The fact that you bring an idol into the Beis HaMikdash indicates that you feel you have control. It's your bias. It's not Hashem's house. It's your bias. You take pride in what you have created, and you'll set the rules. You're in charge. Because if it's Hashem's bias, no one would have the chutzpah to bring in an idol. Hashem does not allow. The only reason why a person would have the azus, the chutzpah, to bring an idol into the Beis HaMikdash is when you feel that it's not Hashem's bias, it's my bias. I built this, and I will give honor to you, Hashem, when I choose, when I see fit. That's the entire theme of this parak. That don't take pride in this space, in this building. You built a building, and you think, oh, it's my building, and I'm giving you honor, Hashem, and I will give you honor when I want. And if today I'm not in the mood, I'm in the mood of giving honor to the idol, I'll give honor to the idol. So the pasuk said, "The Amal Chamotim Samim Beresas Yishum Nitzimli Hal Yoyin V'Tachlan Meinim Machzigim Kvoidi V'Abayis Hazer Shem Nitzimli Ani Tzarech." Hashem says, "Oh, you think you're taking part in this bias? Eze Bayis Asher Tivnuli Hare Nevuchadnezzar." So Yeshaya at this point told Menashe, "You know what's going to happen? And not so long from now, in 100 years from now, 120 years from now, Nevuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel, is going to rise up to power. Hare Nevuchadnezzar Oile Umachriv Oso Umigale Eschem." Hashem will destroy the Beis HaMikdash. I'm on Pasuk Aleph, Perek Samach Vav. I'm not reading, I'm reading from a Medrash. You do not have this in front of you. I'm reading from a Medrash. Do not take pride. I'm telling you now that this bias will be destroyed in 120 years by Nebuchadnezzar. Miyad Koyas Alav Menashe. The Amalami told them, Tifsu, seize him. Go get my old grandfather. Grab him. There's a famous medrash. And what did he do? Poro hacharuvim atzma ubola oisai. This is a medrash. It's hard to understand what this means. The carob tree miraculously swallowed up Yeshaya. Yeshaya magic, whatever this is, he was absorbed by the carob tree. When he saw this, what did he do? He brought out all of the craftsmen, all of the woodchoppers. He told them all to get out, to come to him. Mevi choroshim, he brought out carpenters. V'noiser es hacharuvis, and he cut down the trees. He figured he's somewhere in this forest. He's been absorbed by one of these trees. If you cut down the tree, you'll kill him. V'hoya hadam shoises, and he killed him. somehow by cutting, by chopping this carob tree which absorbed Yeshaya, he killed Yeshaya, his blood flowed. Hadohu d'chsiv, this is what it means in the pasuk. V'gam dom noki shofach Menashe harbe ma'o, that's what it says in Melachim and the Melachim. Menashe spilled a lot of blood. Arash amile es Yerushalayim pelepeh. V'chiev sholadavar hazeh shahara kol kach harbe anoshim ela shahara ges Yeshaya. When it says in the end of Yeshaya that Menashe, he spilled blood in Yerushalayim, it means he killed a person that was as great as Moshe. And who was Moshe? He was a person who Hashem spoke to pe el pe. So that's a very important insight to this pasuk. This pasuk was the last prophecy of Yeshaya, and he paid with his life with this prophecy. It happened when he brought the Tzelem Menashe and brought the Tzelem into the Beis HaMikdash. And at that point Yeshaya says, you think you're the Balabayis on this Beis HaMikdash, and therefore you have the chutzpah to insert an idol. Hashem will destroy, you're not the Balabayis. Hashem doesn't need this bias. Hashem doesn't need this, and Hashem will destroy this bias. And that's when his life was taken. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk Gimel Sheichet Hashar Makeish. And there are different interpretations. What this means simply means that Hashem says, I don't need your kabbanas. Don't take pride in the Beis HaMikdash, and don't take pride in the kabbanas. This goes back to the theme of the very beginning of Sefer Yeshaya, where Hashem says, Lomali Reiv Zivchechem Yemer Hashem, what do I need? The abundance of your offerings. I'm not interested. I don't need this. I don't need you to come. It's a to'eva when you bring all these, you come on the Moed, and you are insincere in your service. A person who slaughters a shor, in my eyes, Hashem says, it's makeish, it's murder. What right do you have to kill animals? Animals are also living creatures. Why is a human being better than an animal? Moisar oda min habehema oyin. There's no difference between man and animal. You know, animal rights. Animal rights. So what's takadiyas? The answer is, if a human being acts like a human being, He has a dignified life, then yes, then the animals are servants to the human being. But if you're sinners, you're a shoyim, and you don't recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you've been diminished to the level of an animal, and there's no difference between man and animal. So when you slaughter an ox, it's like you're killing another human being. Zoveach haseh, a person slaughters a seh, in my eyes, Hashem says, it's oirev kelef, it's not a zevach, it's not a sacrifice, it's like a decapitation. Oirev means from the back of the head. A dog, Male mincha, a person brings a mincha offering. Dam chazir, in my eyes, Hashem says, you're bringing on the mizbeach the blood of a pig, a non-kosher animal. And a pig, it's worse than a non-kosher, it's a hypocrite. The worst part of the pig is the mashal, because it sends out, it has mafras paras. On the outside, it shows that it is a kosher, but inside, it is not malasker. Malasker is the simon that's hidden, and the mafras paras is the simon that's revealed. And the pig, look, I'm kosher. I have split hoofs, but inside the pig is a chazir. So Hashem is saying over here that when you bring a mincha, you bring a gift, you bring a mincha offering, it's dam chazir. In my eyes, it is, you're a bunch of hypocrites. It's the blood of a chazir, which I detest. Maskil levain, a person is maskil levain, frankincense. You bring frankincense as a zikar before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mivarech oved. It's like, mivarech here is used in a very interesting way. It means it's a gift. Mivarech means to bless, but that's not the way it's used here in this pasuk. It means it's a gift of sin. It's a blessing. A blessing is a gift. The ultimate gift you can give a person is to bless him. You can tell him, you can say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what's really the ultimate gift is to give a person the power to bless others. Umivarecha, umivarechecha, baruch. Those that you bless will be blessed. Hashem said, Yaakov, Yitzchak said to Yaakov, we have this in the brachos of Moshe Rabbeinu and the brachos of Yitzchak, the ultimate gift is to give the person the koyach to bless, and the koyach to curse. You have in your control the power of who will receive blessing, who will receive curse. So that's what this pasuk here really says. It says, Mivarech Oven, which means if you bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Levoina, Maskir Levoina, you mention Levoina. It's interesting, Levoina, we say how Maskir means to mention. This reference means that when you bring Levoina, it means it's an expression which means you offer frankincense.
What is Teshuvah?
A gift. Teshuvah means a gift. And that's what Mevarich here means. It's a gift of sin. Mm-hmm. That's how much Hashem detests the korbanos of these wicked people. And interesting, here, Maskir. We say every day in the evening, we say it's a very big thing to say the Torahs. And we say, in fact, we say in the nusach of davening is to say the Keteres in the pasuk Lidoy Roy Seichem. Let me read for you what we say every day in davening. It's a very good thing to say the Keteres, to focus on giving Hashem Nachas Ruach. The words are V'Nemar V'Hiktir Olav Aharon Keteres Samim Baboike Baboike Behetivos Neros Yaktirena Uve Hahalo Uve Ha'alo Saronis and Eros Minimum Yaktirena Keteres Tomil Lefne Hashem Le Doi Roy Seichem. What are you talking about? It's not Beis HaMikdash. There's no Beis HaMikdash. Teretz says the Iker of the Keteres is not to bring the Samamonim, the 11 Samamonim. It's to be Mazkir. It's the Kavana that goes into the Levoina. By saying the Levoina every single day, Unishalma Farim Sifaseinu, Unishalma Farim Sifaseinu, it's equivalent to bringing the Keteres, and that's what it means here, Mazkir Levoina. When you bring the Levoina, what you're trying to do is you're trying to bring a Kadosh Baruch Hu Nachas Ruach. But in this instance, these wicked people, it's a Mevarech Oven, it's a gift of sin. Gam Hema Bocharu B'Darcheihem, these wicked people have chosen their path. Now this means, as the way that Mitzudas explains, don't make a mistake and think that the reason why they are sinners is because they're Tinok Shenishpa. Tinoiko Shenishpu. They just fell into the wrong place. They went to a bad school. They had a bad Rebbe. They had bad friends. So this is the way they turned out. It was an accident. That's just the way it turned out. That's not the case throughout Pasuk. The Pasuk says these people have deliberately chosen their path in life. They came from good families. They had a good chinuch. They had a good upbringing. And then as they got older, they made a conscious, deliberate decision to be wicked, to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not referring over here to people that are reshoyim because they just live the life of hefker. I'm referring to wicked people who chose to be wicked. Gan Hema, these people that we're referring to, Bocharu B'Darcheihem, they've chosen their evil ways. Uveshikut Sehem, and in their detestable conduct, Nafshom Chofetza, their souls desire. This is the life they chose for themselves. Therefore, Mida Keneged Mida, Hashem says, Gam Ani Efkar B'Sa'alu Lehem. I will also deliberately choose to mock them. I will punish them. The punishment won't be an accident. Oh, it just happens that they have a bad mazel. Just an accident. A person was born under a bad constellation and that's the way his life. No! I will deliberately punish you. Gam Ani Efkar B'Sa'alu Lehem. I also have chosen to mock them. Umeguro somavilchem. This is a terrifying pasuk. The thing that you fear, that's what I will bring upon you. It's very interesting. When a person suffers, there are different types of punishments. Sometimes a person finds himself at an eis tzara, he never expected this. I was always worried, I'll lose my job. If I lose my job, I can't make parnasa, I can't support my family. I never imagined that tzara would be that some other tzara. Now I find myself the whole day occupied in trying to krich out of a certain problem, a domestic issue I have in my family with one of my children or my wife or whatever it is. I have this domestic. I never thought this would happen. 2 years ago, I was sittering. I was so scared I would lose my job, and I had in my mind the whole process of the tzora and the agmas nefesh, and what am I going to do to make parnasa? And now my parnasa is okay. Everything is good. The tzora that I find myself is something that I never imagined. That is not so bad, because you didn't have the agony that built up to that tzara. In that certain, I mean, the tzara is the tzara chas shalom. But when a person sees the tzara coming from far, and then it comes upon him, in a certain sense, it's worse, because when the tzara actually happens, it's compounded with the terror and the fear that has been built up over a long period of time, that where you anticipated, not in this place, and that is you, where you saw it coming in the future. Umiguro son, the matter that you were afraid of, this that you were terrified of, avilohem. I'm not going to bring upon you a tzara that you didn't think about, because in a certain sense, that's not so bad. It's just like a side thing. No, the thing that you were afraid of, that I will bring upon you. Yan why? Karas sivi ein oine. I gave you so many chances. I called out to you. I sent my nevi, my prophets. But ein oine, no one was willing to listen. Dibarti v'lo yishameu. I spoke through my prophets, but v'lo yishameu. No one was listening. Vayasu harab einai. And these people have done evil in my eyes. Vashir lechafatzi bacharu. And they have deliberately chosen a life of evil, of wickedness, and the things that I do not want, and therefore I have no choice but to punish. I'm going to deliberately punish these people. Okay, so that is the theme. There is an interesting. There's some midrashim. Okay, let me just read you the Rashi, and just one little part of the Rashi. Then this is a little bit a very interesting difference how they attach the first words of the pasuk. Shechet hashar makesh. I told you in the beginning that a person that stole an ox, being that a man is not living up to his ideals, he's not behaving like a human being. So there's really no difference between a man and an animal. You have no right to kill an animal. And if you kill an animal, it's murder. So Rashi says. Rashi, let me find the Rashi. It's in Pasuk Gimel. Rashi Mivorech. Oh no, it's not. It's not. No, it has to be. It has to be. I'm sorry. I have to go back to Pasuk Beis. And Pasuk Beis is where Rashi makes this point. Okay, let's read the entire Rashi Pasuk Beis. V'yeskol Eila. Let's run through very quickly. Pasuk Beis Rashi V'yeskol Eila. Hashamayim v'aretz yodi asasa zos asher tzimtzamti shechinasi b'seichachem b'yoschem nishmoyim li. So Rashi for over here introduces the idea of tzimtzum. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is infinite. This is where they say Rashi was a chassid shereba. Rashi was a chassid shereba. The whole idea of tzimtzum is a chassid concept. Everything is in Rashi. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is infinite beyond our wildest imaginations, beyond human comprehension, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world was mitzamtzem. He confined, he limited, he contracted, or contracted. Contracted is the right word. Compacted. He's mitzamtzem. He contracted, compacted his shechina to a specific location, and that's what it says here. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shemayim V'yaretz Yodi Asot Zos Asher Tzimtzamti Shechinasi. I have compacted my Shechina B'Soychacham within the heaven and the earth. B'yoyschem Nishmoim Li, when the heaven and the earth listen to me. L'fi Shekein Darki, that's my way. L'habit El Oni U'Nechei Ruach, because Rashi is adding interpretation to the pasuk that the Shemayim and the Aretz have humbled themselves before me. Since my way is to associate with the poor and with the broken of spirit, and the heavens and the earth have humbled themselves before me, therefore the heavens and the earth are roy, they're eligible, they are deserving that I should rest my Shechina, I should be mitzamse, my Shechina among them. Fascinating idea that here we learn the Shemayim Eretz, they are humble. But now, I have no desire among you, Klal Yisrael. Why not? Sharei, you know, here's what the point I really wanted to make originally. Shoychet Hashar. Not like I told you before. I told you before the parish of the Mitzudos, which we'll read in a few moments. Rashi here says, Shoychet Hashar. How did the person get this axe? What, he went to work? He doesn't work, this guy. He's a ganav. He stole it. Mitzvah haboha ba'avera. The way the person has the ox, he stole the ox. Therefore, because he stole the ox and he sacrificed it, I consider it zoveh chaseh So the next part of the pasuk, according to Rashi, is a perush of the beginning of the pasuk when he slaughters this seh, even though the seh is not the same thing as a shor. A shor and a seh are very different animals, the different minim. The ox is the eagle, and there's a whole different min. And the seh is a kvasim, a sheep. Seh also can be loosely refers to goats, but it's a different animal. Yet Rashi loosely is saying, therefore, since the carbon came through Geneva, a person who sacrificed the seh, the reason we're called mazkir is because the milvoin is called the azkarasa. The hoysal lelechem liaskar. Actually, I told you last week means to read it, but not really. But we find in Tanakh in Chumash that the levoina, the kataris, is called the azkarasa, the remembrance before Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, I consider it to be a sin. So now we go back to the pasuk one more time. Shechet hashar, the person who slaughtered the ox, where did he get the shar from? It's because he stole it. Makeish, that is the way, that's how society has become corrupt. So vechaseh, memela, now when they continue to do all these things, they offer all the kabbalists which have come through ill gain, through Geneva, zavech hashseh, oif kelef, and all these things. Look at the mitzvah, this is quickly, so this says a little differently. Shechet hashar, what's laimar? He karbonos, or a person that stood as an axe, it's blood, it's murder. You're not in the madrega. We mentioned many times that the Chofetz Chaim says, why is it bizman hazeh? We mentioned this whole theme just very quickly. Why is it bizman hazeh? We're not ready to have slaves. It used to be slavery. There used to be in all of the Tanakh in ancient times. Because it used to be there were people that were dignified. And there were people that were dignified people. They deserved other human beings to serve them. And certainly even the lowest human being deserved, an animal should serve them. There was certain dignity. Niskadnu hadairos, no human being today is on a level of dignity and integrity where he is deserving that another human being should serve him. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the minds of human beings, there should be a civil war, and slavery should be abolished from the face of the earth. It's not the pshat that when they abolished slavery, this is a gilui milsa, that this was a corrupt practice that existed from the time of creation. That's not true. That's how the world looks at it. The modern world looks that we are more advanced. We have abolished slavery, and with the abolishment of slavery, we have revealed that everything that was done for the last 5,000 years was criminal. Was criminal, we were uncivilized, we were barbarians. Pumfah karat. Niskatnu hadoyros, the Chofetz Chaim says. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about that we realize that we can no longer have slaves is because we are no longer dignified human beings where we deserve. Other people should serve us. But we used to at least a certain degree have human beings serve. We used to have animals. There were no cars. How did a person travel? He traveled on an animal. An animal is a much higher madrega than a car. Even with all the gadgets and all the technology in the car, a car is not a living organism. It's just a machine. When you ride on a horse, or a horse pulls your wagon, a living creature is serving you. That's a tremendous smiler. They still haven't seen in Central Park, the horse and buggies? Well, they abolished them. I think they're in the process of abolishing that. They're not going to be around much longer. Horses. Because niskatnu hadoyros. And then we go further. We were writing. Remember we spoke about it. It used to be there was no printing press. Why was there no printing press? Because when you read a book, this first of all used to be for everything was from memory. Niskatnu hadoyros, we need to write a slasis. But how do you write a human being? A human being writes down. When you read a book, who wrote the book? A human being wrote the book. Wow. A human being has that's significant. Reading a book that was actually penned by a human being, was it copied, whatever it was. Then, no more. Printing press. But the printing press used to at least be plates. And they used to have letters, real letters. And used to press. And ad kadei kach, according to halacha, some want to say that's called a ksiva because you're doing a maisa ksiva by taking a plate and you press it down to a certain degree. That's also considered maisa ksiva. It's not mamish writing each mila b'mila, but you're doing a maisa. No more. Even that we're not roy that we shove a human. Now it's photo offset. just a machine. Now we're God the Madrego, not even that. Then you just press, you just, it's all the DPI, it's just dots, not even photo offset, it's even the lower Madrego, where ink, it's even less. And now we've come to a point where we have paper, iPads, and screens, we're going to the Madrego, where we don't even have, you don't even have a permanent zecher of something. Everything is just a fleeting moment. It's all niskatnu hadairos. So we think that we're smarter, we're more advanced, we're more sophisticated. Yeah, you're right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to do all these things for us to bring us this technology, because we don't deserve that a human being should do something for us anymore. Who am I? I deserve another human being should write on paper with his hands, go to the effort, a book for me. I don't deserve that. You don't deserve. You have a screen, and the screen. There's no shameless anymore, because it comes and goes. Just electronic images. It's not even mamoshes. It's just, and soon there'll be soon you'll come to a point where it's going to be that's a new technology. What's it called? Hieroglyphics? I don't know how to pronounce it. Where it's just light. You don't even have paper. Then you go, there are certain stores you go and they look like people are walking around, and it's just images with light. We now at least have iPads.
Like a hologram?
Yeah, holograms. Holograms. It's also, that's later, that's on the horizon, that technology, which means at least now we have an iPad. Either means you hold something and it's getting thinner and thinner and lighter, it's amazing, but at least you hold something in your hands. In 50 years from now, you're not going to be holding anything in your hands. There's going to be a little teeny dot, and that dot's going to project some type of light, and that light will be your book. You'll be able to read. It's not even a davar mamoshi. Why? Because we're not even roy that the doimim should serve us. Even the doimim niskanu hadoros. It's not a joke. This is the approach of the Chofetz. I mean, it's all built on the approach of the Chofetz Chaim. Okay, I want to tell you one more medrash, then we'll stop. Sheikhet Hashar. Sheikhet Hashar. Let me read you the words of this medrash. He would turn the psuk, the words backwards. We always said this. I always tell you this throughout the whole Yeshai. Can't read the words in order. You have to read the words either backwards or in out of order. And that's exactly what he does. He takes every single word, every single expression, and he reads it backwards. So skip the first two words of the pasuk and jump to the second and third, the third and fourth. If murder is committed in society, let's say Rachmana Litzlan, you wake up, 10-10 wins, a murder was committed. Makeish, big deal. Shechet Hashar, you don't go to prison. It's like someone killed an ox. The value of a human being has been diminished by these people to the level a human being is nothing more than an ox. So for the cry for murder, the same way person will not be punished to a great degree.
You have to go that far. It could be our reaction to it.
Our reaction, okay. Make ish, big deal, shoychet hashar. Now again, we keep on skipping. We are in Magus. Oireif kelef, if you decapitate the dog on the Mizbeach, let's say you bring a dog, a person comes to the Beis HaMikdash, here's a dog, and you sacrifice, you decapitate it from the back, this was such a chosh of a karban, Zoveach HaSeh. It's considered in my eyes as if I've offered HaKadosh Baruch Hu a Seh. Our values are perverted. Dam chazir, if you sprinkle on the blood of a chazir, in a man's eyes, it's male mincha. It's as if I've offered a mincha, a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mevorech oven, if a person gives a gift of sin, he does a terrible avera. So he does a terrible sin. It's as if I've brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kitoires. It's Mazkir Levoina. Gam Hema Bochu B'darchichem. And where does this come from? People have chosen this. People have perverted. I guess the Jewish is, everything is backwards. That's exactly why Rav Shlokesh, he darshins all of the expressions backwards. We're referring to a period of time where people's values are corrupt. They value everything. The values of men are corrupt and perverted. Everything is nahapichu. is just the opposite, and that goes into the drush of the pasuk to take every expression and read it backwards. I remember once at the sefer, it was a terrible story happening, I think, in Canada, where a bear went and murdered. There was a woman and a child. They were camping. There was a mother, and she had an infant with her. And she was on the road, or she was in some camp area. And out of nowhere came a bear, and the bear killed the mother. And they caught the bear. The police came. They caught the bear. In the process, they shot the bear. So at the end of the day, the bear was dead, and the mother, Rahman al-Utslan, of this woman was dead. The bear killed the mother, and the police, when they came, it was too late, but in the process they killed the bear. What was left? There was a yasum. It was a single mother, and the child had no one to care for the child. A single mother, no father. The mother's dead. And the bear was a mother bear, had a cub. A little bear, a little cub. So the problem now, who's going to take care of the yasum, and who's going to take care of the cub? So they established a fund, and they appealed to the public. People should give money to support the child, a fund for the child, and people should give tzedakah. Someone should care. The zoo should be willing to take in the cub and care if it costs money. The zoo is filled to maximum capacity. There's no more room for a little cub in the zoo. If you want a little cub, you have to have someone has to sponsor it. After a few months, they closed the accounts because everyone stopped. And the money that was collected for the cub was infinitely more than for the person, for the child. For the cub, people gave money. Oh, Nebuch, a little cub, has no mother bear. For the person, there was nothing, peanuts, a few $1,000s. The bear, there was like $20,000, $30,000. That's exactly what it says here. Oyev Kelev. People think it's zavech aseh. Makeish sheichet shar. Values are corrupt. All right, let's stop here up to pasuk hey. We'll stop here.